The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't think things are in a precarious position. I don't know what to tell you.
Who done? They've lost 5 in a row. You heard how cranky I was yesterday. Lester Conference is deep, and I've binocular Bontes looked at the schedule, but this is what it is, man. It's, you know, pivot, don't panic, right? Now, I do want to play this cut about Pods because we talked a lot about Pods, and here's his follow-up to his post-game comments on Brandon Podziemski. There was a lot going on with Brandon Podziemski yesterday on 95.7 The Game. Here's his follow-up to his post-game comments as he joined Willard Dibbs yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, everything I said has already been said to Brandon. The reason I said it to the media is there's a little, you know, it puts a little pressure on him. And I never say anything that I don't think about first. So that didn't just come, you know, out of anger for the loss. That came because he needs to get the message. And the message is a really important one because he's such a good player. He's such an important player for us. But he's a typical young player, second year, a guy who's, you know, trying to forge his identity and figure out who he is. All young players go through this. And it's not an easy process because you have to make some mistakes to recognize, you know, who you are, what you can do, what you're capable of, and also what your team needs from you. And so we just need Brandon to speed up the process because, you know, you guys were talking about it. We've got Steph and Draymond who are Hall of Famers and still playing at a really high level, but they're older. And we're trying to fit this thing together now and have a great season. So we need Brandon to take that next step, and I'm confident that he will.
So he wants to put pressure on him, and I'm not mad at that. He needs Brandon Podziemski. This team needs Brandon Podziemski. I know a lot of people don't think highly of Brandon Podziemski right now, but I thought he was balling on Tuesday night against the Denver Nuggets, and then he had that tough stretch, and he doesn't play the last 5 minutes of the game. It is what it is, but you need his ball handling and what he does to connect it. Last year, everybody was high on this guy. Everybody was like, had Podziemski fever. Everybody. First team all rookie team. He's connecting the offense. He's getting that ball out of there, playing .5 basketball. Now, if he can hit a couple shots, damn, here we go. Let's go. But the guy has put a lot of pressure on himself because the guy wants it more. So it's not for a lack of effort. Look, he's got to get better, and he's got to leave the referees alone. That's my biggest issue right now. Not the shot itself, but just the referees. Every call, you don't need to go have a conversation with them. I don't know where he picked that up from, but he'll clean that up. I believe it, and that's what Steve Kerr had to say. Now, here's what Steve Kerr had to say about how he – I want to get your thoughts on both of these cuts, Shasky, how he handles players in the media.
Just get to know them and get a feel for their personalities and what's the best way to address each guy, and is it just privately and never say anything to the media? I always approach guys privately first, but every once in a while, I think it's using the media as a way to get the message out there and make it a real issue can be a positive thing for some players. That's my gut here. I think it's really going to help Brandon in this case.
Yesterday, I mentioned how there was a deeper meaning to what Steve Kerr said Tuesday night. He knows that Brandon can handle that type of criticism in the media. He knows his players. He knows his personalities. We were just talking about this yesterday. You coach a different guy, you know you're going to hug a guy. Another guy you're going to berate because you know he can handle it. Well, some guys need loving. Some guys need tough love. That's where Steve Kerr's at with Brendan Fajitsky, because I don't know, as we talk about Jonathan Kuminga, I don't know if he could do that at the podium with Kuminga right now. I don't know if he could do that with the Moses Moody. I think Moses Moody could handle it better than many other players in this league. He knows Brandon can handle it. I'm not sure how Kuminga would handle that.
Well, forget the young guys. I mean, I just look at how they've treated Draymond Green publicly versus how he talked about Klay Thompson last year pretty vocally. I do feel like there at times he's handled Draymond in a way that is confusing to me, and I'm sure a lot of Warrior fans. And then there's other times where it makes sense. Like, it makes sense that he would, you know, employ the less is more, because you're dealing with dynamite sometimes when it comes to Draymond Green. There's no doubt. And I think at the end of the day, like, they really need Pajemski to start playing better. They really need Jonathan Kuminga to start playing better, right? They need all these guys. Look at how they handled Andrew Wiggins the last 3 years. I don't ever remember the coach coming down on Andrew hard at any point. Do you?
He's different personality.
Exactly. And also, he was dealing with different things. Right. It wasn't just on-court performance or absence or anything like that. Like, there was personal stuff. So, no, look, this is the psychology of Steve Kerr, and this is where playing for Lute Olson, playing for Phil Jackson, and playing for various types of personality coaches, you understand how to connect to people. I mean, famously in The Last Dance, Phil Jackson understood how to connect with people better than anyone.
Yep.
And he knew that there was a way to talk to Rodman. There was a way to talk to Pippen. There was a way to talk to Paxson. There was a way to talk to Steve Kerr and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And you couldn't coach them all exactly the same.
No doubt. And that's what Kerr's doing right here with pods. And he just told you that. So when I really thought about it, and we were doing a show yesterday, I was like, you know what? He knows Brandon can handle it. He knows he's tough. He knows he's going to try to bounce back. He's going to be all right. He's going to be all right. Just less pressure, 20 games in. Now, he did talk about the whole sophomore slump. Where is that cut at? Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about that on Willard and Dibbs.
Brandon had a really good rookie year, came into his second year, and he's thinking, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. And he's just lost a little focus on what actually wins. And, you know, for example, the fouling the 2 3-point shooters, we can't do that. We've talked about this from day one of camp. Fouling jump shooters it leads to losses. It really does. I mean, you can see that stat in the league. You can feel it. Not just the free points. It's having to take the ball out of the net. It's getting to the bonus earlier. So, you know, I think Brandon's trying too hard. I mentioned that in the press conference, too. He's trying so hard to make a great play every time. And you can't do that. You can't play that way. So maybe he's just trying to justify everything from last year or Joe's comments or whatever. I don't know. But it's all part of it. So I'm not concerned about it at all. I just want him to understand that we've got to speed up this process of growth as it relates to what wins games and what we need from him. And that's part of what's happening right now.
You know what, against Houston, who has one of the best defenses in the league, and they put that, remember that on-ball pressure they put on the Warriors when they blew that 31-point lead? Well, now Pods is outside of slow-mo. Who else is going to handle the rock tonight? So you need to love up our Rob's Pods and hope he plays well tonight, because he's going to be your primary ball handler against this team.
I mean, who's going to handle it? Pat Spencer's going to get some run. I mean, you have to assume.
Yeah,
I mean,
all hands on
great.
Deck.
I'm not saying that
all
that's
hands on
solution.
Deck.
I'm just saying.
No, it's all hands on deck.
Here's the question, though. What does Pods need to do better? Like, I know you're talking about the referees and that. I think, to me, it's very simple. God, it would be nice for him to just knock down a couple of deep
ones. There's no doubt.
You know,
no
and then doubt. The other thing I would tell him is, when you get that deep into the paint, trust that little baby hook, that little floater, that little runner that you do. I know it's not the most effective, but a couple of those go in, and now that defense has really got to honor you when you drive to the hoop, and they have to collapse in on you. And I think that'll open up some of his passing lanes. You know, just there are times where that ball can feel so heavy right. psychologically, and you're wide open, and you take that extra dribble, that extra thought, and you just kind of doubt yourself. And boy, if he could just hit a bucket from the outside, hit a couple of runners, just it's funny how things are contagious. You know, look at Buddy Hield. 2 weeks ago, Buddy Hield couldn't miss. Everything he's throwing up was going in. Now the guy can't hit a thing.
That backcourt, I was ready to come in. Like, oh, man, you see the Warriors backcourt? Podge and Curry outscored Murray and Brown. 37-23. 15 assists from Podge and Curry. Oh, man, they were rolling and didn't work out like that. But
well, both those guys made great defensive plays at the end of that game. Jamal Murray had a beautiful strip on Kuminga's near dunk, and Braun got that loose ball and dove on it and called timeout.
He did. Well, yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. Anthony Slater's going to join us at 8:30. What is it that the Warriors need? Leroy at Oakland, he was going to call in. I guess he had to go to work, but he said basically the Warriors, he would like to see them have an established big man. Now, Loon's playing well. Loon's playing some good basketball, but a guy I'm looking at in Portland, Robert Williams, Time Lord. He's been playing for the Blazers. Now, he's had some injury history. How much are you going to give up for him? Do you want to give up a lot for him? Probably not, right? But he did make his return this season. And he's the type of big man I look at. I was like, damn, Warriors could use somebody like that. You know, a guy who could play 15 minutes a night, could run the floor, block some shots. And we saw him in those NBA finals with the Boston Celtics. And, boy, if he was healthy, we may have had a different series. Because that guy was that good. But he's only played in, let me see, this year he's only played in 7 games. He's averaging 10-6 in those 7 games in 18 minutes a game. So I don't know if that's the big man Leroy in Oakland was talking about. Not sure about that.
Yeah, I would love to see them get another ball handler. I know a big is something that I feel like the Warriors have been asking forever. You know, there are other names out there that have been rumored to be traded. Jeremy Grant's a name that I've seen on various NBA trade rumors. I don't know how much that really helps them.
Contract, yeah.
These are just names. I'm just throwing out names. Like, Bruce Brown was a name that I know the Nuggets were inquiring about bringing back, right? Like, I don't really know how much that helps them. Like, there's not a lot out there, right? If you're not talking about one of the more headliner-type moves. You know, Brandon Ingram is another name that I've seen on various websites. It continues to get, you know, kind of thrown at the Warriors. Well, I don't know where that fits.
Well, the Pelicans, I'm interested to see what they will do. Will they blow it up?
Well, okay, let me throw a name at you that I don't
know. Zion Williamson.
What?
Zion Williamson.
No. No. I mean, like, a McCollum as like a ball handler guy.
Season McCollum, nah, I'm out on that.
I've seen that.
And I say no to that. I'd be much more intrigued with Dennis Schroeder. CJ McCollum, absolutely not.
He's very old right now. But I know it's a bad deal. I don't love it. I'm just throwing names at you.
I'd rather go back to a name I brought up last year, and the 650 has brought it up and kind of sparked my mind. Kind of sparked my memory, I should say. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying right now. 650, Coby White from the Bulls.
I would love that.
And I wanted Coby White last year. I wanted Coby White. He's quick as hell. Oh, my gosh. First step, really good. Can hit the three. Him and Vucevic in a package deal, who knows? Because Vucevic is the type of center that can stretch the floor and space the floor and go out there and open up the lane for everybody. Schroeder's a name that we just saw in Brooklyn. I mean, so there's going to be a lot of names, but I agree with you. Playmaker and big are my top two things right now that they're missing. And D'Anthony Melton, this is where the D'Anthony Melton injury. Somebody said, what about Lonnie Walker? He's playing in Lithuania right now. You want Lonnie Walker? Lonnie Walker? What about West Oakland Sam? West Oakland Sam, what do you want? What do you want?
Hey, my brothers. Hey, yo, so I drive for DHL, and my route is in Sunnyvale. So Sam just told me December 20th you guys are having the awards at the Laughing Monkey. It's literally on my route.
Let's go.
But I start work at 10 a.m. So are you guys going to be lingering around after this?
Absolutely.
Like, of course.
Pull over for lunch?
Absolutely.
I'm going to pull over for lunch and get some chicken wings with you guys.
Let's go.
Absolutely.
Here's my thing. I hate Pat Spencer's number. I hate that. I hate seeing him on the floor. How about this name? Because me and my homie was talking about it the other day. How do y'all feel about a R.J. Barrett? I don't know what his contract is, but
Is he redundant to Buddy Hield? Can I ask you before you continue? Is he redundant?
Yeah.
I mean, no.
He's never done it to Buddy Hield.
I'm asking.
He's
I'm
more of like a, he's like an Iguodala than me, in a sense. Just think about it. He's like an Iggy. He's a very smart player, and he can control the rock. I know we need a big man. That's always been our issue since Bogey. We haven't had nothing. Shout out to Festus. I know he's with you, Bonte, all the time. Mm-hmm. But I know we need a big man, a defensive force who could also, but RJ Barrett, just think about it. Just think about it.
Well, I like RJ Barrett, a player. He's a different player than obviously Kuminga and Brandon Ingram. The thing about RJ Barrett that he does very well is get to the free throw line. He's got that big body, those broad shoulders. He's physical. And we saw him light up the Warriors last season. My thing is, Masai Ujiri and the Toronto Raptors are not getting rid of R.J. Barrett after they traded a haul for R.J. Barrett. I don't think they're doing that at all up there in Toronto. They're going with the full youth movement. He's from Canada. He's from Toronto, for crying out loud. So I don't see how any deal gets worked out for R.J. Barrett. But the name, you can laugh, the name, the dude's giving you 24-6-5 right now. 24-6-6.
I like
him. And he gets to the free throw line, no doubt. But if you trade for him, you're just shipping out other guys who play his position.
Yes.
I don't know how much better you're getting.
Well, and the other name that keeps getting attached to the Warriors, and he's in the second year of a $90 million deal, a four-year deal, is Kyle Kuzma. And I know you're out on that.
Yeah, I'd rather have Cam Johnson.
I mean, the Warriors keep getting linked to him.
But Carter's shaking his
head. I don't want him either, but I'm just saying the Warriors keep getting linked to him.
Yeah, well, that's a rumor. Where's the rumor from?
Various writers, and they're saying Indiana, the Kings, the Dallas Mavericks, because the Mavericks almost traded for
him. Do you think, after watching Kyle Kuzma, that he's a player that Steve Kerr will like?
I don't know. I don't, but I'm just saying, like, the Warriors have been like, at one point they traded for D'Angelo Russell, and I didn't think he would fit.
Yeah, no, you didn't. They flipped him. That was just an asset. That was an asset move to get something for Kevin Durant. That was like, all right, forget it. Let's go get D'Lo.
We're 2 months away from this deadline, and it feels like, if the Warriors are going to make a move, I think they're going to be one of the first teams to make
a move.
Well,
they have to. You got to strike quick.
Exactly.
Let's go to KC and Marais. KC, what's happening?
Exactly.
Gentlemen, good morning, man. It's been a while. Enjoying the show as usual. I'm going to have a little bit of a different take. I've brought it before, but the romanticism of Bay Area sports fans, Bay Area media, it wants the players to stay forever, to retire in the uniform, and it brings the team down. It happened to the Giants, and it's happening to the Warriors. We're thinking Wiggins is going to come back from his previous form. He hasn't. We're thinking Kuminga is going to step up and start being a big-time player. He isn't. We're thinking Pods is going to become a player he's never been. He's had, a half a year success at Santa Clara and a decent first-year pick, but he's not the player these fans are thinking he is. And we have a soon-to-be very old Steph who is on the last legs of his career. And it's time to hit the reset. And it's time to recoup the value of the players we have and start to rebuild this team into a possible championship team of the future. And if not, they're going to be a team in the lottery with no lottery picks because of past deals. It's time to hit the reset. It's time get assets.
Is anybody subscribing to what KC and Moran has to say? 888-957-9570 is the number. Anybody subscribing to that?
Am I the naive one for believing that they got one little maybe miracle run with Steph? Just one? Am I grasping at straws?
No, 888-957-9570 is the number. Time now for...